going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Didn't take long before we got a big blockbuster trade last night. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So glad to have you. Listen, Jacksonville Jaguars have a 34-year-old general manager. We joke that he looks like our pal Nico around here. Nico was all over it. No, James Gladstone, the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and obviously with Liam Cohen, Duval. They make a big swing for Travis Hunter. They not only traded, swapped, obviously, with Cleveland, and Cleveland goes to 5, where they took a Michigan defensive tackle, but also they get second-round pick this year, fourth-round pick this year, and Pearl, most importantly, 2026 first-round pick. So Cleveland now armed with 2 first-round picks next year. Yep. And you know what? Betting on the Jags to not have an amazing season with Trevor Lawrence coming off of an injury, and Travis Hunter's going to have to get his feet wet here in the NFL. I think this was a tremendous bet by the Cleveland Browns. I get it. Maybe you have to hold your nose to pass on a talent like Travis Hunter. But I thought Browns front office saved their bacon last night. I like their prospects of getting a quarterback now much, much bigger. And, you know, I don't think Travis Hunter, as great as he was going to impact the Browns' win total this year, because Myles Garrett is the best in the game, and they're picking at the top of the draft, even with him being awesome. So I love this for the Browns side of it. It's working the draft. It's working this position. Mm-hmm. And I was actually impressed with the Browns, and I'm never impressed with the Browns.
Yeah, but what is that? Oh, they saved their... I agree that Andrew Berry, the GM, saved his job for a year, but what has that ever worked in the history of the NFL? It's not how it works. It seems like that, but generally, the unknown then happens. I disagree with one aspect of that. You don't think Travis Hunter would help the Browns win total? If there's any player in America who would help a team, the guy's going to be on both sides of the ball. And they did confirm that they'll start him on offense, but they'll work him into defense. Here's my... I see the upside. I have never seen a defensive back impact a game like Deion Sanders. I think he can do that on defense.
Right.
I'm not even talking about offense. Because when you were playing against Deion Sanders, if the quarterback got it all sloppy, you were having Deion Sanders run back a touchdown. He had 9 interception returns for a touchdown, which second most ever in much less games and much less time playing cornerback. And then you have a 1,300-yard receiver. I think he's a complete impact win guy. I think you add 2 or 3 wins with Travis Hunter if he's healthy. Okay. I'm being dead serious.
Okay, that's fine. Well, I'm pumping the brakes a little bit because I just don't think that's the schedule is possible to get me kept up.
No, I know what you mean.
I know, and I'm watching the Burger McFarlane on ESPN last night, and I get what he's saying about how the college game is faster. There's actually more snaps in the college game. The NFL is slower. But the NFL's the best of the best of the best. You don't get to play... There's no gaps, you know? There are bad teams in the NFL, but there's not bad players.
But what is the... If you argue that he's going to get hurt because there's too much physical contact, I'll take it, but I've never seen that guy breathe hard ever.
No, I know.
Conditioning is super... He's like Steph Curry and LeBron. Yeah. He is supreme conditioning.
And obviously, he's now been in high altitude for the last 2 years. Yeah. He's like been training like Rocky.
Yeah. I was thinking about
that. And here's the other part. Here's the thing. Like, I get this. I'm like... I'm like hesitant to jump into the deep end of the pool on Travis Hunter. Doesn't mean I don't want to see it. It doesn't mean I'm not, you know, like it was a case study in psychology last night where you had Cam Ward who got picked number one overall. We knew that. Pearl, he's like, you know, some tears coming down, which you understand.
Yeah, obvious.
But stoic. Didn't crack a smile. Walking. Oh, and then Travis Hunter, boom, dancing, out, banging on the Jaguars logo, like everything. And both are fine and both are, you know, your natural reaction. But how could you not get swept up in the Travis Hunter thing?
All right, you will admit, this year.
I don't know if he's going to contribute to the win total. Whatever is wrong, whatever happens with Trevor Lawrence and how he heals and how he develops, that is how the Jags will go. It's just the truth.
It's hard to argue with that. It's the way the NFL works with quarterbacks. But you have to admit, Travis Hunter is just incredibly likable. He has
made the Jags a lot more interesting.
If there's an all-personality team, it's Travis Hunter, Ashton Jeanty, and Emeka Buka. I mean, those, and Jalen Milroe. But Travis Hunter, I saw this video of him fishing on Sports Illustrated last week. Like, I love this guy. He is an incredible personality to your team. He gives Jacksonville what he would have given him in Cleveland, a whole new personality. They become a totally different team. As far as that narrative and selling tickets, they are must-watch now because of him. Trevor Lawrence is a very talented quarterback, obviously was not getting it done. I think this is, like Cleveland, a narrative changer for Jacksonville. Also, I admit that it was a super rich draft competition, but you saw that war room. You saw our buddy Tony Khan hugging his dad. It was awesome.
I reached out. He wrote back, said thank you.
The GM, James Gladstone, where's he come from? L.A. Rams, who bleeped those picks. So the picks don't matter if the superstar is there. If Travis Hunter's a Hall of Fame talent, we're not going to remember that first round pick. If he's not, and that first round pick becomes Arch Manning, then we have a problem. But there's a lot of variables before that happens.
I'm glad you brought up the Hall of Fame aspect of it, because you do this a lot and I always clown you for it. I'm like, you're putting a guy in Canton already, but for this exercise, I'm going to follow you here. And we're talking about Travis Hunter and the big blockbuster trade. I think if I'm Cleveland, I watched Joe Thomas go from Cleveland to Canton. Right? I'm going to watch Myles Garrett go from Cleveland to Canton. I see guys at other positions. Now, granted, they don't play two positions, but I see other guys at other positions have Hall of Fame careers, and I look at the Browns, and they are no better for it. You can celebrate those careers. They're going to be legends, and they will be rich beyond belief, and all those things will come their way, but they didn't win anything. You know, and I hate to just distill it down to something so obvious and so elementary, but that's the league right now. And the Jags do have a quarterback. If you think Trevor Lawrence can still be a thing, then you're fine with this. But I get it more from the Cleveland side. You have nobody in your quarterback room right now. Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, that's it. Now you're armed with not only two of the first four picks today, but that 2026 pick. And I think we saw, Pearl, a few things. We'll talk about Shedeur Sanders in a minute, not getting drafted in the first round. But we saw, I think, the impact of the 2026 quarterback class last night. The line was set at 2.5 quarterbacks in the first round. We got the under. It ended up being Cam Ward and Jackson Dart, who Manny's Giants traded up to get with Houston. But I think that 2026 pick, even if it's not Arch, Pearl, I think that it is beyond valuable. The Browns know it's all about quarterback. They didn't see it so far, unless they take like Milroe or something today, or maybe even Shedeur. But they didn't. I don't think they saw it in this draft. And you know what? I get it, because every evaluator has been telling us this draft for quarterbacks stinks.
Yeah, and it's so funny, and I've talked about this a lot. I don't think the 26 class is any great shakes either. I think the 27 class is the bananas class.
Oh, okay.
That's the general.
Because you change your pick all next year.
DJ Lagway and Dylan Raiola, and I think Arch Manning is coming out in 27. So next year, it's like Garrett Nussmeier, who's already older than all these guys, and Drew Aller, everybody in next year's class could have gone pro this year's class, but they all got fifth-round grades from the NFL. So they're like, I just don't think next year's class is that great either. It's a lot depending on Arch. You know, the owners of Cleveland, the Haslams, are close to the Mannings, and their NFL Network made that connection immediately last night. I just think, why would Arch, who's only 20, just turned 20, I don't think he's going pro next year. So what are you stuck with? Here's the thing.
But if you don't like these quarterbacks, don't reach.
I agree with that, but how can you have faith in this front office after what they've done?
Oh, I don't.
That's like, why I err on the side of like, oh, is this all going to work out?
Well, do I trust
err
the
on
Jags?
The side. But I'll tell you, know who is a giant winner here? I mean, huge winner is Travis Hunter, because Travis Hunter is not going to go to cold Cleveland. He's going to Jacksonville, which they said was some 300
right miles around, yep,
from his house,
yep,
where he grew
Georgia.
Up. Well, he grew up in Florida. Then he moved to Georgia,
oh,
closer
okay.
to Jack. Well, he grew up until eighth grade in Florida. Okay. Now he moved to Georgia, close to Jacksonville. So he's out of the AFC North. He doesn't have to play quarterback against Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson. He gets to play against Daniel Jones. He gets to play against C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud,
good.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones is pretty good.
Yeah, but the Texans don't protect C.J. Stroud, so that's going to work out. And I can't even. And Cam Ward is a rookie, so and he gets to play with Trevor Lawrence as compared to Joe Flacco in Cleveland.
Yep.
So I feel like fit-wise, it makes more sense in Jacksonville.
No, he definitely worked
Joe
out.
Joe Flacco?
For Hunter, this definitely worked out. Now, granted, you are... Well, we'll see, because Jacksonville isn't like a national brand. You know, Cleveland has a little bit more... Well, it's a little like watching a car wreck sometimes with Cleveland. I don't know. I agree with you. And you know,
Hunter makes him a national brand immediately.
I'll give you that. And I also, if it puts me in a weird spot here, because I generally do not like the way that the Cleveland Browns operate. So to be defending them here, but that's why I got to call it like I see it. The first this came down, and Schefter starts announcing it on TV or wherever you were watching it, and I'm like, damn, I can't believe to move from 5 to 2, they got next year's one. That and also the second round pick this year. So I just thought that it was like, bravo, Browns. I mean, sheesh. But again, if Travis Hunter ends up going to with a gold jacket, sure. But at least Cleveland gave themselves a better opportunity, I think, to get a quarterback.
Yeah. Here's the question. Is Kirk Cousins coming there to maybe? Diana said Saturday because he's going to wait for Friday night. I feel like this now feels more and more like a Kirk Cousins spot. Unless they take they love Tyler Shuck and take him, I still think Kirk Cousins would be in play. But
yeah, Kirk doesn't really do it for me. Also, I think Ian Rappaport had a report yesterday, right, that they're keeping Kirk as the backup. I have no idea. I don't know what to believe. I don't know. Let's hear from James Gladstone, a.k.a. Nico, from around here. Nico Scarlatos. I would say Nico's the new guy around here, but he's not new anymore. He's been here for quite a bit. But Nico looks like he's about 14.
And 120 pounds.
Yep.
Soaking wet.
James Gladstone, the new GM of the Jags, looks like he's the assistant equipment manager. But you know what? Looks are deceiving, Pearl. He worked for Les Snead of the Rams, and he learned the F them picks mentality from his time in LA.
I probably got some familiarity with the them picks sort of process. So for our fans, I'll tell you, don't be scared. This is something I'm uniquely positioned to navigate.
Duval.
Let's hear from Travis Hunter, the man who is who was the pick. He said he was surprised about Jacksonville's interest, but is getting excited about it.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised, but last night, you know, I looked at a couple houses on Zillow in Jacksonville, and
you had a hunch?
Yeah, you had a hunch. I had a feeling that it was gonna happen. But yeah, I'm super excited, and I'm super excited to see what he's gonna be able to do for us this year.
You know, it's funny. He said that he hadn't talked to the Jags. Travis Hunter had not spoken to the Jaguars since the combine. So they kept this thing very close to the vest, which I get because you need Cleveland, you know, to play ball here if you wanted that second pick.
Yeah. I mean, here's the other thing. Everyone had the Jags at the end taking Ashton Jeanty, a running back. Who helps them more in year one next year? You could also squint and see, well, Ashton Jeanty would have helped them more. But I think, to me, Travis generational, they have that team is depth-wise kind of loaded. Because they got a great pick last year in Brian Thomas, a wide receiver. So they have Travis Hunter. They signed De'Ami Brown. They have your guy, Gabe Davis. They should, with Liam Cohen, I think Liam Cohen's a very good offensive coordinator. They should at least be able to churn out a lot of yards and points. Now, they're the Jags. They kind of slip on the banana peel. I kind of like them. And I think the GM said, well, this division is very, very winnable. The Texans scare me a little bit, but the Texans looked really bad at the end of last year.
They did.
I know they looked great against the Chargers, but they just could not protect C.J. Stroud at all. They fired their OC, which a move I liked, but they're still an unknown.
Yeah, and they ended up trading with the Giants so that the Giants could get up to take Jackson Dart in the latter half of the first round. And so the Houston Texans will be on the clock today because they have the second pick in the second round at 34 now. Okay. That was a stunner. Curious what you guys thought about the rest of the first round. We have to get to Shador Sanders, who did not get selected last night. So we will have some sound
I'll
for you
there.
I'll
take a burrito, please, Miss Gray.
And I also am buying everybody breakfast because I thought that Sanders would not fall past 21.
Trying to keep track of that number. It moved a lot during the spring.
M takes another L.
Started at three. I was with you. Right? Yeah. Three, then it went to nine, then it went to 21.
By the way, I'm still not sure that those teams didn't make a mistake. So I will, we'll unpack that in a minute.
You and Mel Kiper. I thought Mel Kiper was going to start crying like a baby. I mean, what was going on there?
Mel's been very much on Shador from Jump Street.
He falls in love with a quarterback worse than me falling in love with players. Like, remember back in the day it was Jimmy Clausen. This year was definitely Shador.
Well, last year was Will Levis. Two years ago.
You could go through the years. Yep. He's has his champion. The first one, the most famous one, he thought Jimmy Clausen was going to reinvent the NFL, and he's taking an L on that.
I think he was high on Brady Quinn, too, right?
Could be, yeah.
Cam Ward was about to get drafted number one overall. He's like, look at these highlights from Shador Sanders. Yeah. I'm like, what is going on, bro? Yeah. Like,
they were definitely playing the Shador highlights when we all knew that Cam was getting selected.
It's crazy.
Can we question an insider? And I hope he's not listening. What is Ian Rappaport saying on this very radio network, Infinity Sports Radio Network, on Rich Eisen says, well, Shador is still in play at number three. He said that. I'm pretty sure. We got to check the clip. Is that a favor to the Sanders camp? Because Ian was from Dallas. And what's going on? I don't understand. How Abdul Carter's telling reporters I'm going to New York and people are keeping the Shador to the Giants thing alive and then he doesn't even go in the first round. It just feels like a weird energy around Shador.
I want to get into that because I think you can assign blame to why we saw Shador fall out of the first round. And I'm going to tell you who we're going to blame. And it's not the offensive line of the Colorado Buffaloes. Who's to blame for Shador falling out of the first round? Because this was not a pure football evaluation.
Shiloh Sanders.
He's a wrecking ball, that guy. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Yes, I will get everyone breakfast. I was big wrong on Shador going in the top 21. So get your surf and turf and all your caviar.
Squeeze OJ, baby.
And caviar.
If you can find it at 6 o'clock in the morning. 888-710-4. I said, hey, want to also treat today a little like a NFL Monday in that we will try to get to everything. We know that if whoever you're rooting for, you want to talk about that pick. So if you want to do that, call us up, 888-710-4ISN. We're going to give you winners and losers. We're going to give you all the big stuff. But if you want to talk about your team, loved it, hated it, let us know. You can also watch the show on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet. We're on Sirius XM channel 375, bookmark it, and the free Odyssey app. Sit tight.
Duval.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back, Maggie and Pearl Show. Can I make a confession that I shouldn't make? I came into last night and I'm like, I'm going to support my media brethren and I am not going to follow this draft on social media where tips are picked. Picks are tipped, sorry. Tips are picked. Anyway, I was like, I'm going to wait for Rich Eisen and Mike Greenberg on ESPN to announce the pick, even though about 3 minutes before, you can find out on social media who the pick is. So I said, I'm committing to the TV product. I'm going to enjoy this.
How many picks did that last?
It lasted one pick. Because then I'm like, well, I need to know what's happening here at number two. If it is a really interesting, for hardcore football fans, it's an interesting battle trying to enjoy the TV program while knowing all the picks are sitting there. Because how it works is the teams submit the picks via this intranet and it's sitting there for 5 minutes for the world to find out.
Yeah, every war room gets it, right?
So every NFL team gets it.
Right,
yeah.
So someone could be in Arizona and tip off somebody they're 20 picks away from the pick.
I used to tip and they used to get really mad at me. All you need to know is one guy who works for one team and it's sitting right there on their computer.
Yeah, and you'll always get that someone from the NFL will call you and be like, knock it off.
Oh, well, they got really serious about it. Yeah. But now I think a lot of reporters will not tip. There's only a few that do. And I followed them last night because you're just so dying to know what's going to happen.
Can I just tell you another? We're going to get to Shador in a second because I will tell you who is to blame for Shador not being a first round pick. He never got drafted last night. It was awkward when they were putting the the camera and then his party. To be fair, he had some good quotes. I thought he's handling it very publicly. You know, we saw Will Levis leave. We saw, you know, when he didn't get picked. We know Joey Porter Jr. was so upset. His father told us this at the Super Bowl. He just up and left.
Yeah.
You know, Shador wasn't there. But he's handling it well publicly, and it doesn't seem like his confidence is that rattled. We'll see. But here's the thing, nitpicking the broadcast for a second. Chris Berman used to do this as an art form in some ways, which is he knew the pick. This is pre-social media for most of it. And he would do the, all right, the Raiders are on the clock. Could it be?
Yeah.
Could they use some help on the offense? But he would never outright say it. Last night, they were just outright saying it before the pick.
Oh, I got to say, yeah.
It was like, by the time we were getting into the middle of the round, it was like openly, I was watching mostly ESPN and some NFL Network, but like Booger McFarland and Greenberg are just openly talking about the next Michigan defensive tackle that's getting taken 90 seconds before they even make the pick. Well, it's like they did the breakdown. Yeah, they did the breakdown before the pick even got in. It was weird.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And there was one, some mid-round, right in that teenager, in the teens, they started doing that. Daniel Jeremiah did have a lot of the guys in the teens on his mock draft. So I will give him, he's like, I think this team needs this. And it was clearly he knew the pick, but he had predicted a lot of those. So I'll give Jeremiah credit. And a lot of them were kind of obvious need-wise. Actually, in the teens, a lot of those teams did pick players that fit their needs. So it wasn't like that crazy. I understand what you're saying. But everyone knew the Bengals were going to take Shamar Stewart. Like that was obvious. They needed a pass rusher.
Right.
So I'm not going to kill the broadcast for that.
Okay, let's get to Shador. And we see you guys on the phones. Again, we want you to call us because if you want to talk about your team, and we're going to try to get to everybody, but we may not. So give us a call if you want to talk about your team at 888-710-4ISN. Okay, Shador. He falls out of the first round. We have no idea what's going to happen today.
Yep.
I think the Sanders family, Dion, and by extension, Shador, messed this up. I think that Shador actually is a first-round or borderline first-round quarterback, and we know that quarterbacks get pushed up in the draft process.
Right.
They screwed this up, and they only have themselves to blame here. And I'm not talking about 20 years of Dion being outspoken. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this pre-draft process. They called their shot early that Dion was going to be like Archie Manning, and they were going to try to get Shador where he wanted to go, like Eli. We actually have that sound. Yes, Manny from the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast. This is Dion. EJ, this was March. This was March. This is Dion Sanders.
I know where I kind of want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget Shallow, okay? Mm-hmm. But I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't going to happen.
Okay, you on point.
It's going to be an Eli.
When he said that, and we thought Shador was going to be a top five pick, Perloff, it actually seemed a little reasonable, right? It's like, all right, you know, you don't want him going to a bad team. But you know what? It turned off a lot of people. And, you know, Eli Manning happened so long ago, we never really went back to say how did it, you know, didn't turn off the Giants. Obviously, they did it. But how many people were impacted and front offices were impacted by the Mannings doing this power play? And it clearly was unpopular. Add on top of it that there weren't a lot of teams that were really super in the quarterback hunt this year. Now,
there are a few.
Saints, Steelers, we still have guys.
Giants,
Browns. I guess Browns. Actually, okay. So
there were six. Everyone said there were six quarterback needy teams.
And so you basically are cutting off or threatening to cut off some of those cities.
I totally agree with you, but you think that what about all the other stuff?
Well, what's the other stuff?
The fact that Dion is a successful college football coach who said, I want to coach my son in the NFL. I kept saying, you don't think Kellen Moore heard that quote? Like, you're going to draft a guy whose dad wants to take your job and is super famous? How about the fact that Dion is incredibly opinionated? He went to Colorado and cut his entire team on the spot. He does not hold back. If Shador is not playing and the starter is struggling even a little bit, how about the fact that Shador definitely called out his teammates. There's no way. I know Mel Kiper is denying that. How about the fact that,
and I'm going to add one to you, and I think this is why I'm saying that I think the Sanderses may have messed up this pre-draft process, or not may have, clearly did, because he fell out of the first round.
But it's not because of that one thing. That's who they are.
No. I think that
is consistent with everything that is Dion.
Yeah.
He is way too involved in this. And if you're a team, It's that I totally agree with you, but it's not just that. It's everything, Deion. It's a huge pain in the butt.
Okay, but I can't fault Deion Sanders for wanting to be a college coach. You know, that if your coaching staff is so insecure that they're worried about Deion, I think that's more on your insecure coaching staff than it is on Deion. Like,
you say that,
he's being lauded as awesome for going to Colorado and turning that program around. But here's where I think they deserve criticism. I think they deserve criticism for calling their shot early. Hey, we're going to Eli Manning this thing, and we're going to potentially make it a pain in the ass for you to draft Shador. That looks like a huge mistake now. And I'll give you the second thing that I think looks like a huge mistake now. I think that Deion basically not just hovering, right? It wouldn't just be the hover part of it.
Yeah. Hover is a light word for that, but okay.
I think the fact is they put themselves in this, how do I want to put this? Deion Sanders, I think, set up his kid because of his contacts in the media.
Yeah.
There were people who made it about, if you criticize him, it's about so much more than football. And while that may have been true, and it could be true, it kind of set up this really polarizing thing. So I think that Shador actually is a team first guy, that is a good leader, that wouldn't be wouldn't be afraid to go into a city and be the face and turn around a team.
Based on what are you saying that? And the fact that you, like, we have no idea, because we never know those things. You don't know until he gets the NFL.
No, I know, but he does. He did seem pretty comfortable. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt that handled the criticism. He's handled criticism well, all that stuff. Mm. I think he would. But the thing is that he already became polarizing in this way, because I think the media got nervous to criticize him.
Yeah, of course. His dad is Deion Sanders.
And so I think Deion's contacts in the media, or people afraid to, you know, Deion came in basically at Colorado and said to the media, started wars with them. Are you with us or against us? You're not a believer. It was not like this. It was warm and fuzzy with some people and not warm and fuzzy with others. Didn't need it. Didn't need it. And I think that it set up this weird thing where people were worried to criticize Shador. I think they kept him. Evie, you just said, how was Ian Rappaport on Rich Eisen's show yesterday saying it was still open for the Giants at 3 to take Shador?
Why was Mel Kiper crying openly, just like Will Campbell, the Patriots lineman, and Mel Kiper? Why was Gus Johnson openly rooting for the Colorado Buffaloes in a game last year? Because Deion Sanders.
And that doesn't help Shador. Shador didn't ask for that, and it didn't help him, and it's not helping him now.
They
messed up the process.
Did I say yesterday that Shador is going to fall, and there's one reason why? Is it Deion? Of course Deion added. You did bring up, I didn't even think about the Eli Manning of it all, but the fact that he openly said Eli Manning, I had forgotten that. You're right. It's all Deion. That being said, he's obviously physically a marginal first-round prize. If he looked like Justin Herbert and was 6'5", then none of this would make the slightest difference. Yeah. Right? Like, I mean, if he was bigger and he had an arm like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen or any of these guys, if he was a bigger prospect, then they could overlook all this.
Can I give you another one? Yeah. And this is where I actually do blame Shador a bit, and not about his football. Combine. What was the story that came out from Todd McShay? That he came off bad in an interview, right? And it looked like he mailed it in or didn't care or, you know, came off poorly in an interview at the Combine. And it turns out that Todd McShay and Brian Daboll are really, really tight. And I don't think it takes a genius to know that maybe Shador didn't do so well in that Giants interview. And here come the Giants, the one team that actually did trade back into the first round last night to get a quarterback. And if Shador came off poorly in that Giants interview, he screwed himself.
But I thought
for a minute that he actually intentionally had tanked some of these interviews.
Right, but
you wouldn't do that with New York, you would think.
Well, I don't understand. I know that. But the Giants spent the entire fall in Boulder, Colorado. They saw him at the there was a Combine interview. They had him out. They went to Boulder, and I think he went there. So they had two full days with him. So how could that? If that interview was so bad, then why they spent 48? That's a 15-minute interview. They spent 48 hours with him afterward.
And I didn't think anything of it either until we talked to Diana Rossini yesterday, and we said, "Man, the Giants really did their due diligence on Shador. Like,
right.
What happened?" And not only did she say, she said yesterday, he he may have rubbed people in the building the wrong way. Yeah. Crushed. I think he did bad in the interview, guys. I think he did. And I think he came off. And this is where I will actually fall short, because I think he has the ability to turn it on and off. I think he controls this. I think he controls how he comes off.
What about the next 48 hours, though? I mean, he spent full days, not 48. Yeah, he spent... There's a 15-minute interview with the combine. What about going to dinner with them like three times?
Again, maybe it came off bad. I'm saying I don't think he charmed them or something.
I know we'll get into the Giants, but the Giants are obviously very personality connected. The connections to Jackson.
Yeah, they want zero personality.
No, they want somebody they know.
They want someone they're comfortable with.
They seem to be one of those teams that goes to the past. So you would have thought Shador made sense for that. The connections, if you think that's bad, like Todd McShay said, the connections to Jackson Dart, who they took at 25, are so deep, including the fact that Joe Judge is in Mississippi and like half the building still loves Joe Judge.
I don't know why.
And that
they fired him after 2 years.
Charlie Weiss Jr., who is the OC at Mississippi, is best friends with Dable, and some of the Charlie Weiss Belichick connections are super strong in the Mara family. And, of course, Eli was pushing for Jackson Dart.
Yep.
So they basically, it's like when a company hires the son of the VP for the intern. That's what Jackson Dart is.
That always works out.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
And all those Belichick assistants really are crushing it.
You have Shador blowing the interview at the combine on one hand, and you have the VP's son on the other hand. What's a company doing? I just feel like Jackson Dart was like, oh, they picked him for all the wrong reasons. Maybe they ignored Shador, but the other thing, too, is they had a no-brainer pick with Abdul Carter, number three. Yep. So this whole Shador thing was kind of funny. If there wasn't a great player at three, maybe they would have taken Shador, but then they had Shador sitting there at 25. The reporting on him was so all over the place. I do like that pulling an Eli was a mistake. Then, Deion came out like 4 weeks later and said, hey, we like all these other cities too.
Yeah. It's
kind of too little too late.
That's
right?
When they saw the tea leaves. Okay. 888-710-4ISN. We have lots more to get to on Shador. 888-710-4476. Where could he go today? I just want to head this off. I don't want to make this a big thing. I took Bogus's chair. I forgot to tell you in the commercial break. I'm sorry. I will make it right in the next commercial break. I couldn't sit on this stupid chair anymore. We've got too many important things to get to get sidetracked by a chair. But I realize now, if you're watching on the live stream, Bogus looks like a tiny person.
He looks like Yoshi from where I'm sitting.
I feel like Shador Sanders.
I will make it right in the next commercial.
You guys just second rounded me. This is not your fault, Maggie. You deserve to have the chair you want. Your name is on this show. I have no problem with
you. Don't make it like I big-timed you with the chair. I just moved it.
No. I want to know where the blue chair that usually is here, where that bad boy went. And this has nothing to do with you. This is a Rich Ackerman problem. I've had enough.
I will make it right for you in the next break. Sorry, Perloff and I got...
Are you firing Rich today?
No, I have no power for that.
That's how you make it right.
I love Ackerman, but...
Now we're fighting.
Perloff and I got into a deep draft conversation in the first break, and I forgot to get the chair. I will do it. I'm sorry.
This is not your fault. I will not allow you to take responsibility for this. There should not be an issue with seats, but there is because of one person and one person only.
I'm sorry. I can't see you.
The microphone is pointing at his forehead.
Have you guys seen the new Willy Wonka movie with Timothy Chalamet?
Yeah.
Where they shrink down Hugh Grant to play a munchkin?
Yeah.
That's what
Oompa Loompas.
Or an Oompa Loompa, right. That's what Bogus looks like right now. Like it's a tiny Bogus.
I wonder how Lil Bogus does on updates. Lil Bogus?
I feel like terribly. I'm talking to Jake. Jake Bogus.
He does have better facial hair.
Jake Bogus hit 3 home runs yesterday, by the way.
He gave up one. He's a -1, not a +3, but thanks for asking.
Wait, he hit 3?
Wow, Reggie Jackson.
He gave up a home run. He did not hit 3 or 1.
Apparently, Bogic's managerial debut yesterday didn't go swimmingly.
Wait, so Manny, why'd you say he hit 3 home runs?
I was trolling.
Oh, God. Well, he's 12, guys. Leave him alone.
I'm 45. Headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com.
What is going on?
With most of the sports world focused on that NFL draft in Green Bay, the Pistons tried some grand theft basketball on the Knicks in Game 3 in Detroit last night.
Jalen Brunson again at the free throw line for New York.
And if I'm Robinson and OG, don't move.
Yeah. this. There's the buzzer. Game
no
over.
One touched it. No one touched it. The buzzer shouldn't have gone off,
but it did. And now the discussion.
Reggie Miller wasn't wrong on TNT. The clock started when Jalen Brunson's free throw, which he was missing on purpose with a half second left, hit the rim. Not a human being. The clock malfunction, air quotes, was reviewed, and the Pistons got a free timeout and inbounds with a slight chance to tie or win the game, something I haven't wanted to happen more in a long time, but they threw away the inbounds pass, mm-hmm. so the Knicks finally won 118-116. Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson not even mad. That was amazing. They forgive the clock operator.
Shout out to the table. I ain't 10 years, I ain't never seen that. They gave him a chance, bro. Smart. Shout out to them.
Smart on their part.
But, I got number of respect for that.
Yeah.
Like, this was.
You guys are crazy. Everyone, all these Knicks fans think that was some Machiavellian move by the Pistons.
It was.
Absolutely. Oh, like they had studied the rules and knew exactly what was going to happen. There's no way they thought that was going to happen.
Can we hit the pause button?
Yeah.
You didn't know the rules or what happened last night.
Because
you were
in zero
position to dismiss what the Pistons did last night.
So you're saying they planned. You're like, we're going to hit it early so it runs out and the buzzer comes so they have to give it the inbounds play.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I've worked in stadiums before. There's no way they figured all that out.
Very convenient of them to forget how to do their job at that time.
At the most opportune time ever.
There's no less reliable person in sports than the clock operator. And by the way,
you don't even know what happened last night. We had to explain it to you at 5:57.
What is the cliche about clock operators? When the home team has the ball, normally you don't hit the start. You give them like an extra beat. But they went the exact opposite because they knew, because they were so smart. Come on, you really think that guy or woman knew that?
The clock operator, if they know anything, they have to know that you cannot start the clock until the ball is touched.
Yep.
That is like, that's
yes,
not
but
some,
you're
that's
anticipating
not some, like,
because
that's not rule number 87B.
Yes, but is like you have to be really quick. You're anticipating.
It's 0.5 seconds. It's not like very quick.
Oh my God.
Bars the rim, just hit the buzzer.
Hey, can I actually talk about the bigger thing that's going on? Scourge, if you will. What's going on in basketball? How come at the college level and now also at the pros, we have no good inbounds plays anymore? That used to be fine. Now, all of a sudden, every inbounds play is like this wild adventure. Those used to be givens.
Jalen Duren threw that thing to Toronto.
I don't know.
Why was he inbounding the ball?
After traveling all the way to Ottawa, what was that?
It's just like, I think I have the point of emphasis that everyone should be working on this offseason. Mm. Your inbound plays, because for some reason, the degree of difficulty on that got real, real high.
Houston did win a game in the tournament on an inbounds play.
And Houston lost a national championship off one.
Yeah, exactly. Give one away, take one.
Had the Pistons hit a shot to win that game at some point, would either one of you have been here this morning?
Not a chance.
But how? Just
I would have been here to yell and scream.
Physically, with 0.5 seconds left, how are they going to hit this three-pointer?
That's what I'm saying, man. Yeah.
Well, that's the strategy for the Knicks. I don't like that he missed it. I thought that was dumb. I don't think you play with fire when you're only up two.
But that's the new trend, to miss that free throw on purpose, so the only thing they can do is catch it and throw it from 90 feet away.
Which is impossible.
But the inbounds pass is slightly less impossible to make. Because with 5'10s, you can catch it and shoot it. You don't need to tip or anything like that.
Derek Fisher made a shot 0.4 seconds.
I'm just saying the obvious move for clock operators to be slow on the button when your home team is waiting for the ball. That's what every other clock operator in history would do.
In 99% of the other occasions, yes. But
this guy
was the time to do that, to create that. So they had the chance. So they got a free timeout and an inbound.
This guy says, he should be running the Pistons. Then. He should just
he
be
might have been. Maybe it was
clock operators.
I was going to say, it's great, too. They haven't had a playoff game in Detroit in like a decade.
And they were leaving with a down three with 5 seconds left. They had given up. And it's their first playoff game at home in forever. And whatever.
We've got a lot more.
That's such a great point. It's not like they have any practice at cheating in playoff games.
41 home games.
Yeah. And Joe Dumars is
practicing.
Definitely not running the Pistons.
This is the first time I heard Detroit basketball in like 15 years.
They had Chris Webber was in the building. I loved it.
Jalen Rose
was there.
He was at the clock.
Michigan legend. Were there. Not Pistons legends necessarily, but Michigan legends. Okay, let's leave it there because we have a lot of draft stuff to get to. Bogish, thank you. I will get you a new chair. We'll get into Shador. Did the Sanders family misplay this pre-draft process? I think it's obvious. I think if it had just been about football, Shador's actually getting drafted last night. But they messed it up. Can't have sympathy for them. They messed it up. 888-710-4ISN. We'll play you some Shador sound. We'll preview round two. We've got so much to do. M&P, let's do it.
Bang! Bang!
Shedeur Sanders still available today. We'll see how far does he fall because, you know, second round quarterbacks, it's kind of rare.
Yeah. I think there have been, I have to get them maybe six or seven in the last 20 years or something.
It's not a big deal. Although you still have Jalen Milroe on the board. Shedeur Sanders is still on the board. Tyler Shuck's still on the board. So all these guys we talked about, only two went in the first round. Want to give you guys a chance to get in on this conversation. How'd you feel about your team and the move they made last night? Chris is in Birmingham, is not happy this morning. As a Saints fan, what's up, Chris?
Maggie, they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over, mm-hmm. expecting the same results. Well, the New Orleans Saints do their best to constantly do draft O-line, D-line, then call themselves investing into future investments. Well, the thing about investments is, even in the stock market, even the stock market exchange will tell you this. The experts will tell you this. You have to get a return back on those investments. Mm-hmm. The amount of D-line players that have either gone and haven't produced much is extenuous. Going from Peyton Turner to Marcus Davenport, who's probably in Minnesota right now. and then the O-line, oh, look, it happened. I understand that Ryan Ramczyk retired.
Yeah, that was the reason.
No, it's because Trevor Penning's terrible. That's why this is all happening.
They've missed that. So they've gone. The thing about the Saints, they've gone a lot heavy on first-round picks on the offensive line. Yeah. But Ramczyk was great, but he retired, and they haven't hit on all these guys. So
But here's the thing. You also last year you drafted Tuis Fulaga in the first round, and the year prior, Eric McCoy and – I just said, here's Pete, and he went AWOL. So it's like, you guys remember, it was about getting Shedeur, Jalen Milroe, anyone. It's more so just don't do what you normally expect to do.
I was just fine. Do something different.
I was fine.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. You still, Chris, I'm going to give you a little optimism here. First of all, you have a chance today. I mean, I know it's a second round pick, but Saints are on the clock for the 40th pick. So the eighth pick in the second round. We'll see who you get. Jalen Milroe, maybe there's something exciting there, and now you got offensive line, and it all seems to make sense.
Here's the thing. You let your adversary, being Tampa Bay, still your best wideout in the draft, and and the Browns are two spots ahead of you, two picks ahead of you. Who's to say they don't get a QB or something else you could have got? Because I would have been fine with Jalen Walker or Michael from the D-back.
From Georgia.
But we are.
By the way, you just said you were tired of drafting these fast pass rushers, and then you want to get one. I mean, I'm not sure. You ruled out the two most.
I'm going to say edge rusher, my bad.
Well, Kelvin Banks is the most beloved prospect of the top 10.
Did not have a great season this year, though, but was dealing with injury. Maybe not a great omen when the little baby that he had, which is very, very cute, and his wife or girlfriend, whoever it was, holding the baby, and they all start celebrating, the kid just pukes. But anyway.
I would say he is the most beloved lineman. Like, the media went bananas over him this week. They said they thought the Saints would take him at six. He was the fastest riser. This seems like a no-brainer pick.
You know, listen, until the Saints figure out what the heck is going on at quarterback, I don't know how you can be excited about anything. What's going on?
Well, that's definitely wait till next year, kind of.
Josh is in Erie, Pennsylvania. Who's playing this year? I'd love to know. Hey, Josh.
Derek Carr.
Yeah, are you sure about that?
That's a fake shoulder injury if I've ever seen one.
Josh, what's up, dude?
I am so happy with what the Rams did. Getting a first next year puts us in the potential Archie Manning sweepstakes for a year to sit behind Stafford. I think we fleece the Falcons with that pick, with a first-round pick for next year. The Falcons have picked in the top seven like the past 20 years of my life, it seems.
Yeah. Listen, it's a great bet by the Rams. Great bet, because they're going to need the heir apparent to Matthew Stafford, which we thought may happen this year, but now looks like it could be next year because they got that first-round pick. And it is so smart. Just like, in some ways, the Browns, I thought, were smart to bet that the Jags might not be very good this year with Trevor Lawrence coming off on an injury, new coach. Yeah. It's the Jags, after all, to get their first-round pick for Travis Hunter. Rams, very smart, because you're right. could you see the Falcons? Like, could Michael Penix have a bad season and they end up in the basement? It's possible. Maybe not the number one overall pick, but you could easily be top six.
Wait, let me get this straight.
Yeah.
You guys think that trading the number 27 pick, was it 27? For next year's first
26.
Pick is a smart move? You guys really? The only question is, ethically, is it okay to rob from a drunk person? Because that's what they did. I can't believe the rest of the NFL is like, why did we call Atlanta? Atlanta is out of their mind. The Rams lucked into this like crazy. There's no smart. Every GM on planet Earth would have done that deal. I can't believe Atlanta did this.
Well, they must really think that James Pierce Jr. is going to be the next thing.
The rest of the NFL does not think that.
They did not think that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Again, we're going to try to get to everything. But just like these last two callers, if you want to call out your team specifically for doing something awesome, doing something stupid, let us know. We will talk about whether the Giants made the right move getting Jackson Dart next.